back, everybody. Second week of our Big Brother podcast. Reed Kerr here with you. Joining me, as always, Michael Hetrick.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks for joining us again, Hetrick. All right. Let's jump right into it. It's the second week. Yep. I still don't know all their names.
I'm getting better.
I am, too. Before we talk about actually what's going on, does it seem like some of the people are only in the house on the commercials on this? Because, like, Kathy, after Kathy got stuck in the caramel, the sheriff's deputy from Texarkana,
right.
She's barely appeared on camera or spoken since then.
It's like I think I saw her more the other night on After Dark than I've seen her in the past few episodes.
Yeah, there's just so many, you know, in terms of writing, there's so many characters out there that some of them just get left out, I guess.
Yeah.
And so some of them, like what's her name? The pretty girl who's going to be in, like, Showman's number two.
Kristen. Yes.
I'd forgotten Kristen was on the show.
Yeah.
It's like... She's like second position to everything. She's like not as dumb or as endowed as some of the other girls. So
right.
She just kind of fits in there. I'd forgotten she was on until.
Kind of like Kristen and Reagan and Monet just kind of are there, and they occasionally use them, but apparently they don't give enough good diary to be included in the show.
They're hoping for a strong second act with them. Right about the time we get to the ten house guests left, and everybody goes to the diary room, the jury house.
Yeah, the jury house.
Then they'll start talking more.
Right.
I guess. For right now, it's just a...
They're just the extras there. Yeah. They're just kind of floating along, basically.
Yeah, they're Wedge from Star Wars, basically. Yeah. They're the other guys. Okay, so Annie is out, and the whole saboteur thing has just gone into the toilet.
Yeah.
I was shocked that they told us who the saboteur was,
right.
Although there really was no way around it based on what they were going to do. I was really stunned that they told the house guests the saboteur bit was over.
Yeah, I was too, because you would think that you'd want to kind of continue that for a little while longer just to give them... I mean, I understand why they have to do this type of stuff. I don't necessarily agree with why they do these little tricks in the beginning. I mean, you have to give them at least a little bit of conflict to deal with in the beginning, because then otherwise it becomes 13 people sitting around.
Yeah.
Knowing that you have to vote each other out, and it's kind of like, okay. But... You have to think, too, what is CBS going to do now that the house guests ruined their whole summer in the first week?
Yeah, I'm sure they had a lot of plans going, and those are all gone now.
Right.
And I was I thought, you know, maybe they'd hang on to her and put her back in the house at some point, but now everybody knows that she was the saboteur,
right.
So they kind of burned that.
Right, and I wouldn't say that we could completely write Annie off, because I think I've seen where she's going to... what do you call it? The seclusion type
thing.
Sequester. So she may be back. You never know how that's going to work. But it's not really going to matter, because if she comes back, they're going to evict her anyway.
Yeah.
So it's just buying you a free week,
If she comes back, she's a special effect, basically.
Right.
Because they do have an extra week, since one of the 14 bugged out before the show even went on the air.
Right.
Paolo, whatever.
Yeah.
Wow. Don't sign up for it if you're not going to live
there. Right.
There's probably 10,000 people that apply for every one of those.
Yeah. And the other thing that, of course, on Thursday, of course, they evicted Annie. We found out she's a saboteur. Then we had the HOH competition where we got through all the questions and we had to go to the ever-famous chalkboard.
Yeah.
Which, at this point, after how many seasons we've had to do the chalkboard tie eraser, the producers should really tell them, listen... When Julie finishes the question, you have 5 seconds to write your answer.
Yeah.
Not enough time to do algebra and pre-cal to figure out how many gallons of caramel are in the pool. It's write your answer and let's move on.
Yeah. First thing in your mind.
I really thought Julie Chen was going to come through the TV and attack them.
Yeah. Has anybody ever been disqualified for taking too long? Because it seemed like Julie Chen was, the Chen bot was just about to go, you're right, get out, sit down, shut up.
I think Julie Chen at this point... is so tired of the show that she will disqualify anybody for anything.
Julie just stages a coup and declares she's the head of the household.
Right, right.
Okay, so in that head of household, Rachel winds up winning.
Right.
The entire brigade is taken out on the second question. I don't have high hopes for that alliance.
They're not very smart. That is very true.
They, I can't get along with any guy that calls himself Meow Meow on purpose. But they went... It seems like when they were choosing up the brigade, Enzo went really heavy on meat. You know, he's got two big guys in there.
Right.
He's got Matt, who's supposed to be the next super genius, but he kind of... He did something that nobody ever wants to do on the show. We'll mention that in a second. But and then it's Enzo, who is not... Enzo is Jackie Jr. on The Sopranos. He's not Tony. Yeah. He's not the great planner. This appears to be more of an alliance of comedy to me than a strong player in the household.
It's going to fall apart. I mean, they always do. These kind of stupid alliances, they always end up falling apart at some point in time because they just do. I mean, you can't stick with it for too long. I mean, you got to vote. Eventually, you run out of people and you got to start voting your alliance out, and that's just how it goes.
So Rachel wins, and Rachel puts up she puts up Brittany and Monet, which was a little bit of a surprise, but not really, because you know they did the brigade guys did go after her and Brendan in the first week,
right?
But she really does not care for Brittany and Monet, and you can see a lot of people in the house voting with their hearts and not their heads. Going back to last week, I thought Annie gave the best going away speech ever. It was logical. It appealed to gameplay. It was like, why vote me out? I have no friends in the house.
Right.
And she's in a strong alliance. And nobody listened.
Right. And for a first week eviction speech, that was really good. Because normally you don't get those good ones until we get into the middle, to a little bit further into the game. Because usually the first person who's voted out is somebody you don't really care about. And they're just kind of like, whatever. And, you know, so for her, and she's right. You have, and she brought up the Jeff and Jordan thing, which is very true. You know,
it's a timely reference.
You have a couple, they're going to run the house, you know, and if you're not careful, they're going to run over all of you.
Yep, and nobody listened. Not even one person.
I thought maybe she would get at least one vote from someone. Because, you know, there's always that thing when you vote that you want to cause some kind of dissension in the house and say you're voting this way. But there's always that mystery vote. And that always creates... And you would think someone would go in there and say, you know, I'm going to vote for Rachel. Just so you can get some kind of dissension.
Right. They did that. Somebody did that last year. They said, I'm voting this way just to make everybody nervous in the house.
Right.
Because then... If it's an overwhelming thing, but there's one out of place, then you think, oh, God, well, is there an America's Player thing going on?
Right.
Is there an alliance I don't know about?
Right.
But no, they didn't do that.
If it was me and you knew everybody was voting that way, I'd vote for someone else. Only so you can cause some kind of dissension, because every season that happens, it happens that way. It's always the paranoid vote.
Yeah, the house is not about comfort. It's about making people feel comfortable before you vote them out.
Right.
So anyway, Monet and Brittany go up. Right. And I don't know if it's her personality or just the way that they've edited it, but Brittany seems like a bitch in the house.
Yeah.
It just seems unpleasant. She's gone from... And this always happens on the show. There's characters who complain about other characters, or they attack other characters on the show, and you agree with them, and then they keep going, and they cross a line, and suddenly you're like, oh, God, this person's just... seems unpleasant.
Just gets annoying after a while.
Yeah, Brittany's done that in like a week and a half.
Right.
Like four shows, and I can't stand her already.
Right. Right.
But she did win the power of veto.
She
took herself off.
She did win the power of veto. Mm-hmm.
And then Matt did something that super geniuses I don't think should do.
Matt pulled what I call the Dustin. We call this the Dustin.
The Dustin.
Minus the low cut shirt. Reagan already has
V-neck
that covered.
T-shirt,
he pulled the Dustin. He pulled the, well, put me up, it'll be okay. Now, we don't know the results of the voting yet. We don't know what's going to happen yet.
That's Thursday night. Right?
Yeah, but you never, ever in Big Brother volunteer to be the pawn. Mm-mm. Even if you have 100% guarantee that you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You never volunteer to be the pawn, because things can happen in a day or two that can flip that vote around and you're in trouble.
The pawn always goes home. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it will this week because it's so early.
Yeah.
But I still am not comfortable ever doing that. You never put yourself
in harm's way. I would never stand up. Like Andrew standing up in the beginning and being like, I'll be the mascot. Yeah. I'll do the this. I'll do the that.
Yeah.
You don't ever just volunteer something like that. Because that just sets you up.
You want to lay low.
Yeah.
You know, you want to stay off the block and out of harm's way.
Right. Lane is a primary example of that. He's staying out of the block. He's staying off the block and just laying low and eating as much as he possibly can.
he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's very big.
He's a big. He is.
Scare me.
His that tank top of his is living on borrowed time. I mean, he looks like construction equipment. He's big.
Yeah.
And he does not appear to be a guy of many thoughts either.
So, no.
And which is not, as we saw from Adam a couple of years ago, does not preclude you from winning the entire
shebang. That is very true. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Matt and Monet are now up. Brittany's is down because she won the power veto. Monet doesn't appear to have much of a character. She's just kind of not quite as whiny as Brittany at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see what they... But here's another one where do you vote out the person who's more annoying in the house? Or do you vote out the person who has friends in the house, in Matt? This will be an interesting one. I was off last week because I was appealing to logic again, so yeah. I'm not sure about this week.
You know, I really think that they are probably going to vote Brittany out.
You mean Monet?
I'm sorry, Monet. I'm sorry. Brittany's not gone. Monet. Because here's the deal. I don't think Matt has made anybody upset. I think he probably has the numbers with the brigade possibly to maybe stay.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling they're probably going to vote Monet out. Monet's going to be gone on that one.
I'm going to agree with you on it. Just because this seems to
be... Do I think they should vote Monet out? No, I really think they should vote Matt out. But like last week, they really should have voted Rachel out because look what happened.
Yeah. This does not appear to be a very... a very forward-thinking group.
Yeah.
And I know there's a bunch of them right now, but the vote last week, I was really stunned by that because everything Annie said made such perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, well, they're voting.
You know. Well, and you have to feel kind of bad for Annie because she was coming on the show to be a contestant, and CBS roped her into being this saboteur thing. And so, in a way, I felt bad for her because you're kind of set up to...
Yeah.
You can't play the game that you want to play because you're having to play the game CBS wants you to play.
Right.
And so when that happens, and that happens the same thing. Last year they did some kind of, I can't remember if they did some kind of weird thing last year or not. Well, it was the year that Eric was the America's player. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, well, Eric can't play his normal game because he's got to do these America's Player thing. And it ended up being funny, and they all thought it was really hilarious.
And he won some money at it,
you know. But
that's another thing that that it could result in Monet going home. She's already won money. People in the house are very bitter about that.
Yeah, I think she won $10,000 from the hot dog challenge.
In that first week... You know, we talked last week about not wanting to be HOH in the first week because that puts the target on you immediately in week two. I wouldn't want to win any money in the house either because those people are very, very bitter about that, about who wins things, who wins trips, who wins money, and not instead of just playing the game. I mean, it's if you want to go for the big prize, and there's only one of those for 13 people, you know, you might not want to pick up the little ones along the way because that seems to make people bitter.
Yeah, and you have to be careful what you win and what you say about it and all that kind of stuff because, you know, and granted, $10,000 is a lot of money, and when you're first there, you're going, oh my gosh, I can have $10,000, I can leave, you know, and I'll at least have won something. But you're right, you have to be careful, and they're all very paranoid about it, you know, because they're all in that place and they're all trying to win that $500,000.
Everybody win, but and this is. It's 74 days for $500,000.
Yeah.
It's not even like a small lottery winning, you know? It's just for the love of the game, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, I think as the years have gone by, I think the people on the show, I mean, at this point, if you're going to be a contestant on Big Brother and you have not watched Big Brother and you don't know the strategy after 12 seasons of Big Brother, something is wrong with you.
That's why I was so amazed at the first week, at Annie not even getting one single vote when... strategy would say to keep her, but you see that sometimes you see people voted out because they're annoying or because they don't pull their weight around the house as opposed to the larger reasons that you would want to keep somebody in the house because you can get them out at any time. They're not good players. They're you know, the floaters who just kind of stay there,
right?
They don't draw as much attention and they go deeper than the people that are really annoying in the house who tend to get the boot anyway,
right? So, yeah, and you know, the other thing too, in the diary room stuff, you know, of course, it's all very heavily edited. The whole show, as we always say, it's always very heavily edited. But can we please get Hayden to quit yelling at us in the diary room?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I get that he's very loud and he is very young, but I don't need him to yell at me every time he's talking in the diary room.
That's a very good point. He's like the Muppet.
He reminds me of Beaker. It's like, okay, I get it. Shut up. You don't need to yell at me.
He really is. And every time he talks, he's just screaming. I would be hesitant to get into an alliance with him just because he can't be quiet.
I know. It's just like, really? Hayden, yeah. don't yell. It's like the producers need to go in there and say, Hayden, really, you got to lower your volume just a little bit.
Back it down a little bit. There's only so much soundproofing that we can afford here on CBS.
Right, right.
All right, so this week, as we said, it is Monet and Matt up.
Right.
I think sending Matt home makes more sense, but he's better connected. So I'm agree with you that Monet goes home.
Yeah.
And then after that, we start all over again. And that'll take us down to, what, 11 house guests?
Yes.
So we're 1 week away from it really mattering after that point, because then they go jury house. Then you get all the really nice messages. Hey, I hated to vote you out, but you were a strong competitor. You get to those. Yeah. You're kissing butt for votes later on.
Right. And did you notice Annie was very not happy with her goodbye messages?
Oh, they were bad.
From Brittany, or was it I know they were the Brittany one. Brittany's was pretty rough. And the Rachel one was very rough on her with trying to take her man and blah, 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 and this, that, and the other. But, you know, at least she stood up and told them the real truth about Brendan, who is some science...
Who was pretending just to be a swimming guy.
Right.
And he's really a chemistry professor or
he's
student.
Some kind of like scientific genius or something. I don't know.
I'm not going to go that far, but he is in grad school somewhere. So he and Rachel were able to have a discussion that no one else was able to understand. So
yeah, which kind of scares me even about Rachel.
Yeah. One of the other rumors there that I'd heard was that there were two Rachels. Have you heard this one?
No.
There were some, there's various websites that cover Big Brother.
Right.
And we go to all of them.
Right.
There was a report that one of the other twists was going to be that Rachel was a twin and they were swapping the twins out because they originally said because sometimes her hair looks longer than in others.
Really?
So I really took a look at that on Thursday and Sunday night.
Yeah.
And it's just a really bad weave. You know, it's just extra hair extensions.
Right, right.
And they're awful. I mean, well, it looks like she bought them at the Easy Mart. I mean,
yeah, and they've done that twin switching thing before. I forgot when they did it, but it's been a number of years since they've done that. But that would be really odd.
Yeah.
I don't really buy that.
I mean, her hair looks like string fishing line at times.
Yeah.
I think it's just, press-on hair or whatever they got. So I don't think that's the twist.
No, I don't think so. I think as far as the quote unquote twists go, I think after CBS got burned this first week, they're like, listen, let's not mess with it anymore. I'm probably wrong. They're probably going to do something else to them.
There is one more out there. The two house guests know each other, have a relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
Who
do you think that is?
The obvious choice is Kathy and Brittany because they're from the same area. And they're both blonde, and they're kind of at that age where Kathy could be the mom, but they don't seem really that much alike in personality to me.
That would be interesting if it was mom and daughter in the house.
It said, it was obvious if you think about it, and they're both from Arkansas, and Arkansas's not that big. But that might be too obvious.
Right.
I don't know. You gotta be careful to overthink things with CBS sometimes.
Right, and I had also read that some people thought that it was Matt and Reagan. Which would be very
They're both super geniuses.
Yeah. I think they're both from California, too, I believe. I think, aren't they?
Matt is from Elgin, Illinois.
Okay.
According to Wikipedia, which is not useful as a reference guide.
But it is handy most of the time. Yeah, well, I don't know. That's another report that they've said.
So there may be one more twist, or there may not. You know, CBS just lies to us sometimes.
Their first
attempt at disinformation went horribly wrong, and they voted out the saboteur.
And you know how they always have some tagline with Big Brother? It's like, in season four, it was the X Factor where they had like the X. Did you see that? Where they had the X's come in and play, which really, would you want to play Big Brother with your ex-husband or your ex-wife? Probably not. I don't think that would go over well, but... they had that one, and then they had like the summer. It was some DNA thing or something. Then it became and on. So the summer of sabotage. Well, that's over with. So what is it now?
Just the summer of Big Brother.
Summer of Big Brother. Yeah.
Let's go back to what we did before.
And right.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they pick another saboteur in the house or something. Maybe they try to keep it going. But for now, we're down to 12.
Yeah.
And we're back to just your plain Big Brother. So,
yep.
All right. So officially, we're going to pick Monet out for this week.
I agree with that.
It's probably the way this house will go. So we'll check back in next week with another podcast. Thanks for everybody for listening. You can find these up at my Examiner column at tvread.com, or also my regular blog over at thebluearea.com. I got a lot of this .com. Anyway, we'll do more coming back next week. Michael Hetrick's been my guest, as he always is, for our Big Brother discussion. We'll do more next week. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody.